You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Now, those of you joining us for the very first time tonight do not know, and you need to know, that we have a free weekly e-zine, a free weekly newsletter. And it takes maybe 10 seconds at the most to subscribe. Just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and on the main page of the website, you'll see a little red letters, you'll see a little button there, and you just click that. It says K-Files E-Zine. You click that and subscribe. It's that easy. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. I got an email. Actually, I guess I got it day before yesterday, but I didn't read it till today. And here's what it says. This is from George, and he's in New York. And he says, Kevin, love your show, but now that you have video, I see you seem to always dress very casual. What's up with that? Well, what's up with that, George, is it's hotter than Hades here. If you were tuned in just before the show started, then you saw photographs of my surroundings. Now, the two photographs of the desert, I took all those photographs, all three of them, but the two of the desert were taken from my backyard looking over the back fence. Now, I no longer live at that location, but that's what it looks like all around here. And it's really, really hot. But as you see, I can, when I want to, wear a dress shirt and tie. And speaking of the tie, now this is courtesy of some little silkworms that live in Thailand. And as you know, we have a trip planned. It isn't finalized yet, and those of you who have written to me and said that you're interested, I did get your email, and I will be responding to it. But we haven't got all the details finalized yet. But I'm planning a trip to Thailand for our listeners, for you and me to go and see some of the really magical, mystical places in Southeast Asia, and particularly in Thailand. And so if you're interested, you need to send me an email and let me know. Just go to Contact Us. That's on the menu on the webpage. Click that and select Other as the subject. We'll be back with Marie Jones right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Galaxy.
And we are back. As I said, my guest this evening is Marie Jones, and she's standing by. She'll be with us in just a moment. And I'm looking forward to talking with her. She's got a fabulous new book out. And I think it's going to be, it's something that it sort of takes us beyond the discussion of 2012 in a way. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But just one more or two comments. You know, now that we have video, there are a lot of things that are different. You can see a lot of things that you didn't know about before. And I have gotten emails, you know, I've mentioned this on the show. I have gotten emails from people who say they can hear me lighting a cigarette. And I've explained before, they can hear the lighter. And I've explained before that that's not the case, that it's, I have a bad habit of clicking the top of my pen. Well, this is the perpetrator here. This is the offender. And this is what you hear, but away from the mic. That's what you hear. And so I don't normally bring this to the show because I caught myself, you know, as the discussion gets deep, I caught myself sitting and doing things like that. and just not even thinking about it. And so I brought it so you could see. And the pen that I shall be using is not the clicker, but this one, all right? So you won't, hopefully you won't hear that unless I accidentally pick it up during the show. As I was saying about the trip to Thailand, I'm going to try and get some photographs for you, the previous trips that I've made to Thailand. Now, we're going to try and do this in October. And the reason for that is because of a very beautiful, mystical, but beautiful, in fact, breathtakingly beautiful festival that takes place in October. And I want us to be there for that. I want you to experience that. But I'll try to get some photographs up maybe before this week is out, if I have the time to edit those. I've got to pull them out of some videos that I took, but I'll try to get those up for you. It's just going to be great. You got to go, all right? You just got to do it. My guest this evening is Marie D. Jones, and she is the author of a book called 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. She's authored other books as well, and, one of them is Science, spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena. And she's also the co-author of Supervolcano, the Catastrophic Event That Changed History. Marie, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, it's good to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think it's important for me to say, that you invited me to write a chapter in 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know, I think you do, I can't remember if we corresponded about this, but at the time when I needed to be writing that, I had a stroke. And,
no, I didn't know that. I just figured you were so busy that, you know, I didn't want to bother you too much.
Well, I am busy, but I write all the time. I write something every day. And, but I had a stroke, and it took all of my concentration and energy just to keep the show going.
Well, and, that's much more important.
Well, I don't know that it's more important, but I had to focus. Yeah. I miss getting to be in this fabulous book, but I do appreciate that opportunity, and hopefully I can contribute something to some work that you do in the future.
That would be fantastic. I will always keep you in mind. And I'm so sorry to hear that, but I'm glad that you're doing well.
I was back at the microphone in 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Determination and dedication for you, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know that other people will understand it, but for me, the show is a driving force in my life. It's not a hobby,
right.
You know.
Right, the show
and,
must go on. I understand, I really do. And I think it's a great motivator, too, to sort of overcome the challenges that other people might take weeks or even months to. So I commend you on that.
Well, I thank you. But the show being a driving force, I want us to focus on you and on your work and on this new book called 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning. One of the things that I have said, and you and I talked about this back at the time when you invited me to participate in that book, but one of the things that I have said is that I think December the 21st, 2012, is going to be just another day.
A day like any other.
It may be a little rocky, you know, but I don't think there are going to be any great cataclysms out of the ordinary, and I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong.
Exactly, and I agree with you. I mean, I would never say that it's absolutely impossible that something catastrophic or awe-inspiring is going to happen that day, but the chances are pretty good that it won't. And it'll be similar to you know, Y2K, how everybody got their hopes up and other people were thinking it was going to be the end of the world. And it really was sort of anticlimactic, if you ask me.
Well, it was. But let me, if you don't mind, let me share with you the gist of what I was going to write.
Oh, that would be great.
This is not something that I have shared even on this show because we've just never, it's never come up in the context where it was apropos, okay?
Right.
So, but here it is. We are going through lots of cataclysms now. And it seems that they're, the frequency and the intensity is picking up. And it seems like there are, you know, not only more tornadoes, but more devastation from the tornadoes. Not only more floods, but more frequently and more intense flooding that causes more devastation. And then, of course, you know, we have more volcanoes and earthquakes, and it seems like it's just picking up. It seems like the tempo is just picking up. What if, see, the whole deal of 2012 is it's the end of an age.
Right.
And what if that's how you spell relief? What if December the 21st, 2012, is when all that's over? And we finally can take a big, deep breath and say, phew, we made it.
We made it. Exactly. That very well could be the case, that we're being tested and time is speeding up, and therefore the tests are coming quicker and faster and more frequent. And if we survive, it'll be because we intend to survive and we're up to the challenge.
Well, yeah. And, you know, if we take the idea that the Mayans were saying it's the end of an age...
Exactly.
Not then perhaps life, that's know, the day, you know, the Bible describes it, a period of time like this, where it says it'll be like a woman in labor.
Right, the labor pains
mm-hmm.
that increase until birth, exactly.
And what if December 21st, 2012, is birthday?
Very interesting.
Then
and, you know,
after
there
that, there's relief.
People that are thinking that way.
I'm sorry?
There are a lot of people that are thinking that way, that it's more of a build-up and then, you know, just a shift, a complete shift to another level of consciousness or level of reality rather than a complete end to everything, you know, the apocalypse where everybody dies and the earth just explodes. It's, you know, really the majority of people do not believe that. This is going to be more of a transformational shift.
Well, see, one of the things that a lot of people have talked about is, like, it's the end, right? I mean, it's all over with. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, and there are a lot of people that are really afraid. But, you know, it can't be the end. You know how I know that?
How?
I looked in my computer... And in the, I looked in Outlook, I've got a calendar in there, and it goes beyond 2012.
You know, it's funny because my 7-year-old son said to me, because he's very much into the work that I do, and he said, well, Mommy, isn't it possible that they just got tired of doing their calendar, and they decided to just go do something else? And I thought, you know, leave it to a kid to come up with the most simplistic explanation. But, you know, again, the violent, cataclysmic, apocalyptic ending is really more from the Western religious traditions. The Mayans never spoke of any such thing. I mean, they really weren't talking about the end of everything. They were talking about the end of a particular cycle. And every great religion, ancient and modern, talks about cycles, and each one leads to a new cycle where life will be different. It will go on, but it will be different.
Yeah, but in talking about the end of an age or the end of a cycle, there is a paradigm that governs each age. And
if we're coming to the end of an age, I mean, perhaps, you know, the big things we can look at would be the geological and climactic changes that we go through as we reach the end of this age. But you also have to be reaching the end of a paradigm. Otherwise, exactly. The age continues.
Right, right.
And nothing that has life dies quietly.
No, and I was just going to say there's so much that is fear-based, you know, when we talk about 2012, because change scares people. Even if it's positive change, people do not like to be taken out of their comfort zones. They don't like to be shaken out of the habitual lives that they lead. And so any kind of change can be terrifying to people, even if it's one that really, in the end, would benefit them.
Well, you know, that's true. With. And I've spoken about that, and I write about that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I also am resistant to change.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You know,
so I can see where that fear comes from. And I, you know, again, time does seem to be speeding up. And even the Mayans and their calendar, you know, there was a quickening that occurred in the way that they registered these different underworlds. They had different underworlds were about to leave the galactic and enter the universal underworld. And, you know, there are a lot of theories about how...
Let's park there for a minute. What do you mean there's a quickening?
Well, you know, there are a lot of theories that as information technology increases, which we see every day, I mean, my gosh, our cell phones are getting smaller, our computers are getting faster. As that increases, our perception of time changes. Our days become so full of things that it feels as though time is going faster. And in a sense, because our perception is our reality, it is. You know, we don't live the way we did 100 years ago. Now everything is coming at us so quickly. And the Mayans, I believe, were aware of this because as their calendar progressed, each underworld, each time period that they were looking at got shorter and shorter in duration. And what they were trying to refer to was the fact that what was going to happen in those different underworlds, in those different time periods, things are going to happen faster, quicker, more intensely. As you said, you know, we're seeing more global changes, geopolitical changes, climate change, bigger disasters, bigger problems. You know, we've got these oil, peak oil and all of this stuff. It's happening faster, and more of it is happening in smaller time durations. So I think that's why everybody is so depressed, so exhausted, so anxious. And there's a sort of underlying sense of fear that, you know, I think it's palpable.
Well, did you ever, when you were a kid, did you go to theme parks any? Did you go, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you ever get on a ride that really was scary?
Oh, yeah. I hated the Funhouse rides. I absolutely froze. I mean, I just hated going those cars that they were very jerky and jarring and things
yeah.
pop up at you. Oh, I hated that. I hated to be in the complete dark because I'm a bit claustrophobic.
All right.
And
well,
I know what you're going to say. It felt like you were in there for an hour, right? But you were really only in there for 30 seconds.
Yeah, plus everything you were scared of turned out to be nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Had the lights been on and you saw the goofy stuff that they had laid out and what was behind it all, you know, yeah, it would have been hilarious.
Now, what we are headed through certainly is not a game like that.
Right.
But what we are headed into in some ways is like that in that it's going to seem, well, as we face it on this side of it, it seems worse than what the reality will be.
Right, and I think, again, that's because of the way that we've been conditioned to perceive change and to perceive, you know, anything that shakes up the status quo. It will be the way that we look at what's happening that will determine whether or not we'll be able to go with the flow or just sort of crumble in fear.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say, I mean, look, Six Flags Over Texas used to have a ride. I don't know if they still have it. I think they do not. It was called the Runaway Mine Train, and when they first opened that ride, it was like spectacular. You know, of course, as time went on, they came out with bigger and bigger roller coaster rides and things, but it really was spectacular. And I went out there one day when I was young, and for some reason, whatever the reason was, there was almost no one waiting in line at the rides. Usually you wait 45 minutes to an hour for a ride, you know.
Right.
But there was just almost nobody there. And I rode the Runaway Mine Train 26 times in a row. I just wanted to set a record for myself. Now, I know every twist and turn of that ride, but I gotta tell you, even though I know exactly where the bottom is just going to fall out and I'm going to feel like I'm in free fall, I know it's coming. I cannot stop the feeling. I still feel it.
Right.
Or felt it. And, you know, even though if we knew with precision what was coming,
right, we would still have the emotion to deal with.
We would, and the thing about it that I think is so important and what I like about your book is you take us to the next year,
exactly,
2013.
I think we're going to be there.
Oh, I do too. You know what I'm going to do, and I want to invite you to go along. I'm going to have a 2012 party in Bangkok.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, now,
that
well,
would be awesome.
Yeah, I want to take at least 1,000 people with me. And what we're going to do is we're going to start partying when midnight hits the East Coast, every time zone here in the United
right.
States. Okay, we're going to start partying, and I'm going to broadcast live from there, and we're going to celebrate the end of 2012 and see if we're still alive 1 minute later.
That sounds like fun. It really does. And I suspect there are going to be a lot of similar parties going on all over the world.
Yeah.
And who knows, some people hiding out in their underground bunkers, but I have a feeling more people will want to be up ground, you know, up top watching what happens.
Well, I'm going to be providing a great service to the people that are in their underground bunkers waiting for the end of days.
Exactly. They can listen
because,
to your show and hear the play-by-play.
Yeah, they can hear the party, they can hear that we're still alive, and they can
right.
come out. Yeah. Well, look, whenever you put this book together, I want to get into some of the things that are in the book, but first I want to get into what made you think about putting together something that deals with after 2012?
You know, being the writer I am, again, it was kind of like what happened with my book, Science. I was reading about all these different things that had to do with 2012, but in my mind, nobody was talking about two things. One, well, okay, say we make it through, what would it be like? And two, what were some of the more realistic challenges that we're going to be facing that we already are seeing, you know, starting today, and we can talk about those things later. But I wanted to write that book, and I also wanted a book that people could read who didn't know anything about 2012. And it still shocks me that, you know, I talk to people all the time, and a lot of people say, huh? I never heard of that. A lot of people have heard of it, but I wanted a book that somebody could pick up. They could get the basics of the whole Mayan calendar mythology, the Western religious tradition thought behind, you know, the end times, and then all of the natural disasters and other more scientific types of things that might be associated with the year 2012.
All right. I want to get into the content of the book, but we have a break, so we're going to go ahead and take our break, and when we come back from this break, we will continue with Marie Jones, and we're talking about her book, 2013, Beyond the Great End of It All, that so many people talk about. All right?
We'll be back right after this. We are back. Got a flash message that asked, why the patriotic music again tonight? Because we had it Friday, you know, because that was July the 4th. Well, the reason is because July the 4th was our nation's birthday. That's true. But I wanted to do a little parenthesis, you know. We had the birthday, and then a lot of people had Monday off. It's part of the holiday. Just a reminder that one of the great holidays, probably the greatest holiday in the life of our nation. We just had it. Happy birthday, America, once again. Those are the only patriotic songs that I include. One right at the beginning of the show, and then that one. And then I've got some that have to do with a little bit of beyond 2012 kind of messages, sort of. Marie Jones is my guest, and we are talking with her about what's going to happen beyond 2012. What's going to happen in 2013? 1 minute after midnight, December the 21st, 1 minute after midnight, what happens?
Marie, in writing this, I mean, you called upon a lot of different people to contribute to this book. Give us a little bit of a flavor of what are some of the things that people wrote about.
Well, you know, I purposely chose a variety of people that I knew would give me a variety of responses. And really it ran the spectrum from people that, you know, felt this was going to be a very spiritual, transformative period. You know, Dr. Rita Louise, Nancy Lee, David Carson and Nina Simmons, people that are talking a little bit more about how this is going to be the end of one cycle and one way of being and the entrance of a new era and pretty much a shift in consciousness. And then interestingly, I had some people who, you know, mainly from the paranormal community, who were very objective about what they thought might happen. And I found that to be very interesting, that people that, you know, study the paranormal could be very objective about something like this. And I also had some people who felt it was going to be something negative. And Jim Mars was a little bit more negative about what was going to happen, but mainly he was associating all of that with, you know, global changes that were occurring right now, political changes and peak oil and the climate and things like that. But probably my favorite essay was Edgar Mitchell, the former astronaut. His whole essay was really about the one way that we can kind of take control by thinking about sustainability and taking good care of the planet Earth and looking at this as a positive opportunity to take some responsibility for our actions. So it's a real neat, plethora of viewpoints and ideas from the very negative to the very positive.
One of the things I think that, whenever we think about this 2012 and the concept that it's the end of days as opposed to the end of a cycle.
Right.
And look, hey, believe me, I get lots of email. And when we talk about 2012, I've had a lot of callers that have called in and been very fearful about it. And thinking about it in terms of that's the end, one of the things that I've said about that is, so, if it is, it is.
Right.
And we're all going to find out at the same instant.
We will. And we might as well have a good time now up until that point.
Well, yeah. I've used this story before, and pardon me to my listeners who have heard this. Some of you haven't heard it. But when I was young, that was back in the early days of dirt. But when I was young, I was having a discussion with a cousin of mine. Now, that cousin is 6 months older than me, and his mother and my mother are identical twins, and we were raised pretty much as close to being brothers as it could possibly be done. Although we're not brothers, we're cousins, but we were raised like brothers. And like brothers, we seem to be poles apart in our outlook on the world and our outlook on life. And even till this day, he was really, you know, that was back during the Cold War, and he was really keyed up about
right.
Some news about the Russians having key cities targeted, you know. And I thought about it, even back then, I thought about it for a little bit while he was talking about it, and then I said, look, here's the deal. How long does it take for one of those missiles to fly from there to here? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, okay, let's say it's an hour. And let's say 30 minutes ago they pushed the button.
Right.
You didn't know it, and you've already lived that 30 minutes without knowing it.
Exactly.
Now, if it arrives here and we go up in a big flash, then we will.
Right.
But there's nothing that we can do that, A, can stop and prevent, nothing that you and me at ground level can do that's going to stop and or prevent someone from pushing that button. It's out of my hands. There's nothing I can actually do about it personally. Therefore, I'm going to live until that moment of the white flash.
Right. It's almost like you have to surrender, just surrender to the present moment, as we're always being told, you know, by the greatest spiritual teachers. Live in the present, because Lord knows what the future is going to bring. And the end could occur tomorrow. I mean, the Mayans could have gotten it all wrong, and tomorrow could be the day. But why on earth would anybody spend their time stressing out over, you know, oh my God, I've only got 3.5 years. Oh my God, now it's only 3.25. You know, that's ridiculous. It's
the truth is, if we knew, let's say, Marie, that we knew for sure that December the 21st, 2012, that's it. It's over. Let's say we knew that. Earth is just going to go up in a vapor on that date, okay? So let's just speculate and hypothetically say that we know that for sure. You still don't know that you've got all the time from now till then.
Well, exactly. You could get hit by a car crossing the street tomorrow.
Sure. That's true.
Absolutely.
And so the fact is, we don't know, you know, what's going to happen for sure on 2012, if anything at all. We don't know. And it is also true that everyone listening to my voice right now does not know they will even be able to live till the end of this show.
Exactly.
I don't know that I will.
No guarantees.
Yeah.
Moment by moment that you can, you know, have an aneurysm and die 2 minutes from now. But to live, you know, in that sort of anticipation of death or destruction, it's insanity.
It really is. Really is. It's like someone, you know, here in Arizona we have the Grand Canyon. You know, I have always thought, you know, they call it the Grand Canyon State. I've always thought they ought to just say the state with a big ditch in it. But, you know, there are people who don't heed the warning signs from time to time, and they get too close to the edge, and, you know what happens? Gravity works every time. There's never been a failure of gravity yet.
Yeah.
Not once. And so it turns out tragic for some people because they cross, you know, there are rails and fences in places and warning signs, and they'll cross over those. Oh, I'm just going to step over here to get a picture. Whoop, and they're
right.
Gone.
One stupid move and you're gone.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, there are people who do stand back and play it safe, and they can still see over into the big ditch.
Right.
And they get beautiful pictures, and they go on and they live, and they're able to take those and show them to their families that didn't get to make the trip. And the point of this is that I think, you know, peering into the future and worrying about it and letting it frighten us is sort of like crossing that rail at the Grand Canyon.
Exactly.
You know?
I think we forget sometimes that we have a little bit of say in what happens in the future. You know, we have a little bit of input here. So
I think we've got a whole bunch of input.
We do. Yeah. We can be proactive about this. It's not something we have to just lie down now and say, oh, well, in 4 years, I'm gone. I mean, we do have some responsibility, and there are some things that we can actually do to, not assure, because, again, we don't know, but to at least up the odds that we're going to be here in 2013.
You know, my dad used to say, and he said it right up until the time of his death, right, I don't know, like 2 or 3 days before his death, and he knew he was going to die. But he used to say, son, you got to live till you don't.
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, we may not make it till 2012. Tomorrow, our calendars may be off just enough that tomorrow's the real date.
Wouldn't that be something? If, you know, when we interpreted them and tried to match them to our Gregorian calendar, that somebody really screwed up and knocked it off by 3-4 years.
Yeah, may be 2012 right now.
All right, we're into a break. My guest is Marie Jones, and we will be back right after this.
I heard a song the other day, said the brand new Chevrolet is the heartbeat of America. Well, Chevrolets are mighty fine, and I'm more than satisfied with mine, but the heartbeat of America is freedom. Oh, freedom is the heartbeat. Freedom is the heartbeat. Freedom is the heartbeat of America. In New York Harbor, standing tall, the one who really says it all holds a flame that's gonna burn forever. Through the darkest stormy night, that fire just keeps on burning bright, and the whole world knows it stands for freedom. Oh, freedom is a heartbeat. Freedom is a heartbeat. Liberty, let's not forget it don't come free. It's something we should never take for granted. A lot of people fought and died to keep old glory flying high, and I would gladly do the same for freedom. Oh, freedom is a heartbeat. Freedom is a heartbeat. Folks today who say the good old USA is standing on the brink of destruction. Well, I'm here to tell you they're wrong. The old girl's heart is beating strong, and she's ready any time to fight for freedom. Oh, freedom is a heartbeat. Freedom is a heartbeat.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. And welcome back. We're talking with Marie Jones, and we're talking about some really interesting stuff. During the break, I took the opportunity to check some flash messages, and I just want to share a couple of these with you. One has to do with the deal with the shirt and the tie. And here's what it says. It says, "That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. You should dress however you want to dress. The attire that one person wears does not dictate who that person is." I agree. Totally agree. However, I'm a little sneaky sometimes, and when I got that email asking me why I dress so casually, of course I realized that people that don't live in this kind of climate like we have here just don't know. I mean, we're rapidly approaching the point in summer where it will not cool down below 100 degrees at nighttime, all right? We're not there yet, but we're rapidly approaching that. We will not be under 100 degrees until October in the daytime. Think about that. We will not be under 100 degrees until late October. So if you don't live in these kind of circumstances, you don't know. But it gave me the opportunity, that email, in answering that email, gave me the opportunity to put on my Thai silk tie, you see. I've got some of these. I got several of these. I got one that's just, you know, like sunshine yellow. I thought it might kind of be a glare in the camera, so I didn't wear it. And it gave me the opportunity then to remind you that we're going to Thailand, and you need to come and be with us. But I've got another one here from Australia, and let me bring Marie back on line. Marie, this is just what we were talking about as we went to break. This is a flash message from Phil in Australia, and it says, "I'm interested in if 2012 has already arrived. I've heard you mention on previous shows that the Mayan calendar may not be aligned with the Gregorian calendar, so has it already arrived?" Well, here's the deal. Maybe this is 2008 by our calendar, but we now know that our calendar is off by 4 years. Our calendar, whether people like to admit it or not, is divided into two epochs. And whether you like to admit it or not, the dividing point is the birth of Jesus.
Right, exactly.
Okay, now there are people that say before Common Era and Common Era because they just don't like to admit that. Now, how stupid, how silly can you be? I'm not a religious person, but I'm not an idiot either. The fact is, he splits history.
Right.
Now, we're off by 4 years on his birth. If you use our calendar, he was actually born 4 BC. Now, in 4 BC, if we go back to 4 BC and start our calendar there, then this is 2012.
It very well could be. And, you know, and again, there is a lot of debate over, you know, the correlations between the two calendars. And there's even debate on when the exact beginning point is of the Mayan calendar. You know, there, Carl John Kellerman believes it was a year before some of the other writers posit. So there's a lot of room for error there.
Well, yeah. I've brought that point up in previous shows with other guests when we talked about 2012. And some of them say, well, it could be. Some say, no, there's not a chance. And then I was trying to remember, I think, I'm not sure who it was, that said, well, you know, that we just have to go with the calendar as it is. And
but that doesn't mean it's accurate.
Well, that's true. And truthfully, if we're going to date, if we're going to use the dates based on, you know, get our calendar correlated with the Mayan calendar, then we actually do have to add 4 years to it because it's off by 4 years.
Right.
And if we do that, this is 2012.
Yep, and you know, again, there's still so much debate over what day? Is it December 23rd? Is it December 21st? Is it, 2011? Is it 2012? Are we going by Jesus' birth? Are we going by the traditional time? There's so much argument over beginnings and endings, and it could very well be that it's already passed, and that maybe it was meant to be more of a symbolic shift than an actual, where we would have actual fireworks going off in the sky or something.
I think we will.
We're talking about history. We're trying to interpret somebody else's ideas.
Yeah, but I think we can see the trend. Just look at this past winter. I mean, in places where they don't have tornadoes, and they don't have them in the winter for sure, they had huge, devastating tornadoes, bunches of them.
Yeah, the climate is definitely telling us something. And I'm in Southern California. We've had the worst fires. Northern California is on fire. We were told to plan for, over the next 50 years, summers that get up to 120 degrees.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Yeah, same. All the Arizona people used to come to Southern California to cool off, and now we're going to be going, we're all going to be heading north to Canada or something. I don't know. But, yeah, definitely there are things going on, and they seem to be happening with greater intensity. So we could say that something, the quickening is quickening, and it's happening now. I do have to say one thing, though, about geophysical events or seismic events. Earthquakes, volcanoes, the Earth has always been very active, and my dad is a geophysicist, and he's told me many times, we're really not seeing an increase. We're just seeing a lot of activity, and it is very cyclical. However, there have been quite a few big ones, and if we have a super volcanic eruption, then we might change our tune on that. But definitely where the climate is concerned...
Sitting where I'm sitting, if the Yellowstone volcano goes, sitting where I'm sitting, I won't have a different tune. I won't have a tune at all.
That's right. We will have reached our 2012 if that happens.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. You've done a lot of research on 2012. You've done a lot of research to get this book together, I think you've provided a tremendous service for the world community, really, because, my show is heard in 95 countries,
mm-hmm.
and the this subject of 2012 is something people are interested in all over the world. I get email and calls from all over the world. As we had the email just a few minutes ago from Australia.
Right.
So let me ask you, as you've looked at 2012, you got any apprehension?
No, I don't, and I'll tell you why. I'm more concerned about things that are going to happen within the next year. How many more people are going to lose their homes? How much higher are food and gas prices going to get? Is my son going to be abducted off the corner tomorrow? I'm not afraid of what's going to happen in 4 years. I figure in the year 2012, I'll deal with that year when I'm there. I don't think that we have enough to go on just interpreting a, 3,000-year-old calendar where they did not come out and say, hey, people, this is exactly what you're going to expect. This is exactly what's going to happen. I know that history is open to interpretation, which means that it could be interpreted all wrong. So I have no apprehension about, I didn't have any for Y2K either. I have more apprehension about, what are people going to do all over the world to pull together now for some of the crises that we are facing?
Well, I agree with you. And I don't think... On the one hand, I don't think that 2012 is going to be a non-event, okay?
Right.
But I don't, at the same time, I don't anticipate that it's the end of the world.
No, absolutely not. I think that, a lot of people, I think that when you have a lot of people expecting something to happen, if their intention is strong enough, I'm a big believer in the power of intention.
I am too. And I have to tell you that I intend to be back right after this break. More with Marie Jones. Don't go away.
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. Disregard that guy behind the curtain. Disregard that voice that said, call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092. Tell you what, here's the number. Let me see if I can get that up here for you, all right? There's the telephone number on the screen right now, 1-623-581-5148.
Marie, we have a caller on the line, so let's go straight to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
All right, Kevin, we can hear you a little bit better tonight. Go ahead.
Well, hello, Marie. How are you doing?
Hi, fine.
Yeah, a great show tonight, I got to say. You know, if I can't join Kevin in Thailand for his big party, you can rest assured I'm going to be having one here. You're invited to the party, too.
No, you can't do that. I'm trying to get a date for the party in Bangkok.
Competing parties, huh?
Well, two Kevins going at it, you know. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that, what do you take on Zechariah Sitchin's theories about 2012? What do you think about a planet barreling through the system that may be causing some stuff before that, and which may be causing maybe the increased, cataclysms that we're seeing today?
I can barely hear you, but I think you're asking about the Nibiru planet X. You know, I wrote a little bit about it in the book. There is some evidence that there might be a quote-unquote 12th planet out there. There's a lot of evidence that there isn't. Again, it's another theory. There are so many theories that, you know, we're going to have a flyby with this particular planet, and it's going to tip us on our axis and cause all kinds of cataclysmic chaos. Again, it's a theory that has some backers and has some people that just think it's, another theory. I did touch on it. I did not, to tell you the truth, in my research, I could not find a whole lot of solid evidence, pro or con. Zechariah Sitchin does have a fairly new book out about the end of days and all the different more apocalyptic ideas. And he talks a little bit about the Mayan calendar in the book, too. But again, he's writing a little bit more about the Western tradition, the Western thought of apocalypse. And, you know, it's interesting because if you do enough research, you'll find evidence for just about anything. And there are people that are finding things in you know, the Bible code that point to 2012. My feeling is that there is a whole lot of theory out there, but there's not a whole lot of real solid evidence.
Okay.
If there is that 12th planet out there and it's coming, I would think that every major astronomer on the planet and astrophysicist and cosmologist would be talking about it. And until that happens, I'm just sort of taking a very objective
look at
that. Well,
let me play the devil's advocate here. Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I'm going to clear the line so that we can allow other callers, but it's a good question and gives us the opportunity for me to play the devil's advocate. You said that perhaps, every astronomer would be talking about it, but if it is a dark star, if it's a brown dwarf, it may be so dark that we can't see it until it's really, really, really close.
Well, gosh, I hope that's not the case. I'd like to think that our astronomers are a little
now,
more.
Now, see, this is where all the theories sort of spring from. 1982,
right, exactly.
NASA announced that they had discovered something out there with the IRIS satellite, and it was huge. That's their description. Don't know what it
right.
is, but it's huge.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Since 1983, there was an article published in the Washington Times or Washington Post, 1983, where they quoted the chief scientist on that project from NASA, and that's exactly what he said. And since then, there's not been anything said about it. It's all gone quiet.
Right. I would be real curious because, again, you know, doing my research, there were so many different theories that I looked at and touched upon. It was interesting because I'd come across some real, you know, scientific websites that talked about the planet X as if, hey, you know, this is definitely out there and we're expecting it to, you know, and it's
yeah. Well, see, and that's the deal. That's
close to Earth.
That's the deal. NASA is who started that.
Yeah.
It came from NASA.
It's going to be one of those things where only time will tell. If it does have a flyby with Earth, how much of an effect will it have on our, magnetic shield or on the axis?
Yeah.
Will it cause the wobble that everyone is talking about? And interestingly enough, there's, you know, the Earth has gone through many polar tilts and wobbles, and you know, not a whole lot has happened during some of those. So it may not be something that we really have to fear.
Yeah, I think you're right. It may just be something that's a little scary, but not something that's really, really cataclysmic. Let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Maria. This is Larry from California. How you doing?
Good, Larry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. That four-year difference that you all were talking about earlier, there's two things I'd like to point out. One is my impression is that there's the solar alignment that happens December 12th.
Exactly. We haven't talked about that. You're right.
21st. Are you talking about this year?
No, 2012.
Okay.
The galactic alignment, right.
Uh-huh.
And that happens on a precise date that the calendar calls for, and that four-year difference, you know, if they were smart enough to make a calendar like that, then they were smart enough to know that we were going to be 4 years off, and they just made up for that difference. So I think things are pretty well headed off in the direction they're supposed to be headed.
Well, actually, I hadn't put it together like that, but I think that what we're looking at is, here's the situation. The Mayan calendar, if you look at it as the anchor, okay, then our calendar, as it currently stands, would put the end of their calendar at our 2012.
Right.
Does that make sense?
They made up for that four-year discrepancy of the BC and AD during that time.
Yeah. Okay, Larry, thanks for the call, man.
No problem. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you. You follow what I'm saying with Aunt Marie?
Yeah, and it's funny because we hadn't mentioned, you know, this particular astronomical event. And what fascinates me isn't so much that, you know, the Mayan calendar might end on a particular date, but the fact that they knew that they could somehow, you know, predict cosmological events that were going to occur thousands of years in the future, as a lot of ancient civilizations were able to do. I mean, that fascinates me more than anything. How did they have this kind of knowledge of the stars? You know, here we are with our huge telescopes and our satellites, and we're still trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have figured out what's going on.
Yeah,
you know,
we're just beginning. We're beginners, I think.
Well, do you know, there's a very interesting thing that they've just released this week. The information has just come out this week. And that is that our solar system has a dent in it.
Well, I saw that. I saw mm-hmm. that.
Now, I wonder what causes that.
Exactly. I, what fascinates me is that every day, practically, if you follow the news, you know, you look at all these different RSS feeds, there's an amazing a new article about they discovered, you know, more evidence of dark matter, or there's a new planet, Earth-like planets. There was an article a few weeks ago about how there were three that they're looking at that are very much like Earth and could have life on them, and it's just amazing. We still don't know very much at all about our own universe. Yet the Mayans were able to pinpoint, or so we think, we may be a few years off, this, you know, particular alignment where the sun would move through the equator of the Milky Way at a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
well,
it's interpretation. You know?
That's one of the mysteries. How did they know? All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Seattle.
Yeah, Ryan. Speak up. We're barely able to hear you.
Yeah,
this is Ryan in Seattle.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Interesting show again. The question I had was, with the universe and the galaxies, isn't there a black hole in the center of our galaxy, or is it the center of our solar system? There's a black hole in the center of something. I just can't remember which.
Yeah, it's
a galaxy.
Galaxy.
The galaxy, yeah.
So in 2012, are we aligning and are we approaching the center of our galaxy? We're not approaching a black hole, are we?
No. The sun will be moving through what is called the equator of the Milky Way. It's sort of it's not really the midpoint. You know, there's some great graphics you could find which show the exact path of the sun over the last couple of thousand years. So it's not us. And the funny thing is, Ryan, is that my son when, you know, I was trying to explain to him what the book was about, he thought the same thing, because he's very knowledgeable about astronomy, and he said, well, there's a black hole in the middle of our galaxy. If we pass through the middle, we're all going to die. I said, no.
I was just curious.
It's sort of
about
a misnomer or a misinterpretation that the sun will be passing through a very significant equatorial point in the Milky Way.
Well, I was just curious about that because I didn't know about the answer to that.
Well, Ryan, that is a theory, that there is a black hole in the center of every galaxy. And if there is, you know, yeah, we want to stay out of the middle of that one.
Ryan, if you think of our sun as a ball, and this ball, as we the sun is orbiting around the galaxy as we orbit around the sun. And this ball bobs up and down as it moves. All right, in the center of the Milky Way is a black hole, but think of that black hole as being a supermassive ball, and it has an equator. Now, that equator extends all the way out through the galaxy, okay? It's just an imaginary plane, a midpoint. And our sun bobs up through that midpoint and back down through the midpoint again. It bobs up and down. We're going to be bobbing up through that midpoint, that midline, the equator of the galaxy.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I really don't know. It's for me, personally, I am not scared of anything. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens. It's so far away in the future that I'm sure around December of 2012 will start, you know, being really. I'm not somebody that's going to panic too much about it, you know.
Well, I think that's a wise decision, because even if we knew for sure everything that's going to happen, there's not anything we can do about it.
Well, one thing I want to say about your show is that it's too bad that you don't have the 1-800 number anymore. However, people should realize that when you call your show, you're not put on hold, you're not screened, and you're not put on hold for a long period of time.
That's
true. It's usually a quick, even a 30-second call, and whenever I call your show, it's not like you're going to be spending a lot of time, even if you have to pay for long distances. It won't even be a minute most of the time. So,
well, you're exactly right, and you are correct. We do not screen the calls, because I figure if you take the time and trouble to dial the number, and you get through so that yours is the one that's next up on the line, you ought to get a chance to say what's on your mind.
And I think anybody that can donate some money to help you get a 1-800 number, I think we should all pitch in and a little bit each and help you get it back up, because this is an important subject. So,
well, I appreciate that. I had a couple of donations. We're still a little bit short of what we need, but, you know, the thing is that comes up every 30 days. Every 30 days. And so, you know, we've got to be able to underwrite that.
If you don't get into your show when you call in, you don't have to pay for it, because it's just a busy signal when you hang up. The only time you get in is if you're going to get on the air, which is usually only 30 seconds.
Yep.
But anyways, I'll let other people call in now. And
all right, Ryan. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, now see, that's one of, I've heard that before, that little bit of fear about, does that mean that we're headed into a black hole?
Yeah, yeah.
And no, we're not headed toward the center of the galaxy. We're headed, if you think of it as being moving up and then down, bobbing up and down, we're going to bob up through the equator region of the galaxy.
Exactly. Yeah, and I blame the media for a lot of the confusion. The media, and I'm not talking about, you know, shows like yours, but we've got movies and TV shows coming out that are so fictionalized, and they're very sensationalistic. And there's one coming out with John Cusack, I believe, next year. I have no idea whether it's going to be a positive or a negative thing, but, you know, there isn't a whole lot of truth here that we can really point to. It's all theory. We don't know what's going to happen until it happens. But really, when you have the media portraying these, you know, scary things that might happen, people buy into that the same way they buy into fictional reality shows and say, hey, that's real. You know, those shows are scripted.
Yeah. They are. And, you know, I've used the example of that show Cops. You know,
exactly.
I came back from overseas and was surprised to see that show was on. And so I watched it a few times, and I sat absolutely appalled at some of the stuff that I saw these cops do on television.
Right.
Because I saw them do things that we would have fired cops for doing. And there they are in all their glory right there on TV doing it.
It was for TV, for your entertainment value.
Yeah. But, you know, the same thing happens with the other reality shows. And I think people need to, you know, kind of step back, take a breath, and realize that people that produce these shows are producing them for entertainment. And I mean, you know, you're talking about this movie coming out. I saw just a couple of days ago, again, on television here on cable, I saw Independence Day. Well,
right.
that's a thrilling little movie, you know. Well, it's not a little movie, but that's a thrilling movie. But it's a roller coaster ride. It's intended to be.
Exactly.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mark from Nashville, Ohio.
Okay, Mark, speak up good and loud for us.
I heard the best presentation on 2012 the other day by Dr. Agnew. On Coast to Coast. I just wondered if either of you guys had heard that.
Honestly, I don't have time to even listen to my show.
No, I didn't know it was on because I'm busy writing my two next books at the same time.
Well,
there's a lot of conferences coming up, a lot of speakers, a lot of books out, so you're going to be hearing from so many different opinions and so many different voices. But no, I had not heard that either.
Dr. Agnew explained it kind of like this. He said, we're moving into an area in the galaxy where there is a gravitational rift or tunnel that leads to the black hole in the center, and that every 12,000 years, as we move through the signs of the zodiac, we come back to this place in space. And then we're affected by this gravitational force. And there's two things that may happen. One is a global superstorm where we will have massive snowstorms with winds in some areas over 300 miles per hour. The other event might be a pole shift. Anyway, I kind of wanted you to comment on that.
All right, thanks for the call.
I've never heard that theory. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, I have heard both of those, and, you know, what I say about that is, who knows?
We won't know until it happens, yeah. But, you know,
if there's a pole shift, you know, if there's a pole shift, we're going to all know on the same day.
Exactly.
And, you know, if there's... now, the deal with, you know, massive snowstorms and 300-mile-an-hour winds, I mean, could it happen? Yeah, there are computer models that have been run on various climate scenarios
right.
wherein that could happen. And if it does, it's going to clean off the surface of wherever that hits, it's going to clean it off, and there's, you know, you're not going to still be standing there with a 300 mile an hour wind hitting you. You're going to take a ride. So let's say that we know for sure that's the scenario. You just don't know where.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it going to hit the south? Is it going to hit the Atlantic coast? Is it going to hit Indonesia? Where?
And because we don't know where would you possibly go?
Exactly.
You know, and I heard one guy said, well, I guess, you know, you need to get in a deep, dark cave, or you need to, you know, have a bunker underground. Okay, let's say that you go underground, and instead of the wind, you get a pole shift, and now the ocean's on top of where you went in.
So either way, you can't win.
Yeah.
The thing is, is if you go off into a cave and everybody else dies, you come out, is that any kind of life that you're going to want to live? I mean, are you really going to want to survive something like that if you're one of, you know, a few thousand people left on a devastated planet?
You know, yeah, look, I know where you're headed with that, but the truth is all of us, it's an animal instinct. We will spend our last moment trying to get another moment.
Trying to survive, absolutely.
All of us do. When I had that stroke, mm-hmm. what was going through my mind was, I am going to die someday, but not today. I'm too busy.
Got too much to do.
Okay. And that's while I was supposedly unconscious, I could hear everything that was going on around me, and,
right.
and you know, I knew
right.
what was happening. And, but I wasn't sitting. I was laying there thinking, not today. I'm busy. And then later, you know, you look back on it and you sort of analyze what you just went through. And I realized that I was doing what every animal does. And that is, you spend your final moments trying to get one more moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so
the will to survive.
Yeah, survival is built into us. And if it wasn't, we would not have survived for all these years.
Exactly. We've been through some, you know, cases where we've nearly become extinct, and, you know, humanity has always managed to carry on. I'm pretty positive that we're going to be here in 2013.
I'm pretty positive.
There'll be quite a few of us left.
Do you remember a song, it was back in the 60s or 70s, and it was in the year 2525, if man is still alive?
Yes, if man is still alive, if woman can survive. I love that song.
They need to bring that back. They need to bring it back.
I know. I'm a child of the 60s.
Well,
oh, gosh, I could almost remember the name of the guy who sang it, too.
In the year 2525, I'm betting we'll still be alive.
I think so. I think, you know, the challenges that we're going to be facing are the things that we're facing now. Climate changes, you know, depleted soil, poverty, overpopulation, emerging and reemerging diseases. Who's going to have the power? The West, the East, the North, the South, all that stuff that we're dealing with now. We're going to be dealing with the same stuff then.
I don't think we will be dealing with the same kind of geopolitical stuff. I really don't.
Oh, I hope not.
I think that's coming to an end.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the dying paradigm.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be at very, very soon. Maybe not in my lifetime, but when I talk about soon, I'm talking about relative terms. And, you know, man's been on this planet for a long time. Very soon, relatively speaking, I think what's going to happen is we're not going to be thinking of ourselves in terms of nations. We're going to be thinking of ourselves in terms of Earth.
Well, I think that's where the Mayans had it right, talking about going from a planetary to a galactic to a universal way of thinking. I think that they foresaw that we were going to move out of that smallness of mind. And if we don't, then we won't survive. I mean, I really believe that if we don't get out of that small-mindedness of me, 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 and start thinking of we, yeah, we're going to be in big trouble.
Well, you know, here in the United States, we have 50 states. And there is a time and a place and a level at which we think about our state. I mean, especially if your team is a contender for the Super Bowl.
Oh, sure.
I used to live in Texas. We had the Dallas Cowboys, and so I remember what that was like. Unfortunately, right now here in the Phoenix Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals are not... contenders.
not contenders. Chargers, and you never know.
we do have those small group moments. And then we have, you know, moments when it's our state. And then we have moments when it's our nation.
Exactly.
But I think where we're headed, I think we're headed to moments where it's our Earth.
Our planet. Yeah.
And, I think this will happen when we become absolutely, unambiguously aware of the fact that we are not alone in the universe.
That's possible. And I think also what's going to add to that is the sense that you cannot treat the planet like a doormat and wipe your dirty feet on it all the time without it, you know, being affected negatively. So I think those two things definitely could make that shift.
Well, it will take a massive, massive shift in the way we do life. Right now we do life in the industrial age still. And that means that we're consuming massive resources, and we're producing massive piles of trash and massive, massive amounts of toxic waste. And that's going to change. It's not that it has to change, it will change. I may not be around to see it, but you will be. And we'll be back right after this break. Don't go away.
On my canvas of years to be you. Around I went looking through my windows out of nothing but you. My whole world narrowed to the size of a couple of pages in my book.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me remind those of you who do not know or have forgotten the various ways in which you can get in touch with us. Of course, one way to get in touch with us is to call the studio line, to call the telephone line, and the number is appearing now at the bottom of your screen, 1-623-581-5148. If you are outside of the United States and Canada, I will be happy to read your flash messages. A flash message is simply an email, and you send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right? flash@kevinsmithshow.com. One of the ways that we have, it's not functioning right now because we haven't finished coordinating everything with the video, and that's Skype. We hope to have that back on and working again. It's working, but they really got a problem trying to coordinate it with the video signal, and I won't get into all the technical thing. There's two computers involved here. And we hope to have that back up and running before this week is out. But right now it's not. Just file that away and understand that you will be able to Skype in if you're outside of the United States or Canada, hopefully by the end of the week.
Marie, one of the things that I am getting several emails is they want us to elaborate a little bit more about what you think is going to happen as we bob up through the galactic medium, or the equator of the galaxy. Now, one of the things that I have heard, it's a theory, and I don't really know what to think about this, but I have heard this theory that we actually have 12 strands of DNA, and that as we move through that galactic equator, the waves of energy that are going to hit us are actually going to activate the 12 strands of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what actually people are talking about, a rising of our consciousness and an ascension is and an evolution into the next phase of human life. That's what they're talking about, is that the whole 12 strands get activated. Now, did you run into that?
I did, and I also ran into a lot of discussion about junk DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this 97% that is considered junk DNA could be waiting to be activated at a certain time. And a lot of people associate it with 11-11, which is the universal time that is supposed to, you know, be the moment of shift on December 21st, 2012. It's 11:11 a.m. Universal Time. So you have a lot of people reporting time prompts, seeing 11:11 on their clocks. And it's funny because my next book is going to be about that. And there are a lot of people that see these numbers on everything, and there is a theory that what it is a wake-up call, and that it is meant to begin to activate some of that junk DNA that might be lurking within us, and sort of build up to this transformation of consciousness.
So then, you know, at 11, at
11,
yeah, okay, but at 11:10, you may be dumb as a mud brick, and 11:11, you're Einstein.
Oh my God, that's a wonderful way to think about it. You know, people all over the world, like on Oprah when she talks about the aha moment, you'll see light bulbs going off above people's heads all over the world.
Well, I'll tell you something.
I mean, these are theories that are being thrown around, and again, yeah, we have to be real careful where we
that's going to be an oh no moment.
An oh no, you know. I believe me, I think a lot of people may prefer to stay pleasantly dumb.
And let me tell you why it's an oh no moment. It's an oh no moment because there are a whole lot of people out there who are absolutely convinced they are just the smartest thing going, and they are so much better than everybody else. So much better than everybody else. And if this thing, you know, bam, it hits us at 11:11, they're going to find out just how superior they are not.
Exactly. There is so much, you know, so many theories, so many myths and stories and legends and predictions and prophecies that it's kind of exciting to realize that in 4 years, I'm going to get to come to your party in Bangkok. And
you're going to be there, huh?
I'm going to be there. I'm coming, and we're going to stay up, and we're going to see exactly what happens.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that a lot of the changes are going to be occurring within each individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you really, truly believe that you're going to have a transformation of consciousness 4 years from this December 21st, perhaps your buildup of will and intention will make that happen. And I think, hey, that's a good thing.
You know, I really, really, I threw a little theory out there at the beginning that I, you know, what if 2012, what if December the 21st, 2012 is birthday? In other words, that's the day when it's all finally over and there's relief.
Right.
What if? Well, you know, I got to tell you, I really think that's what we're looking at. I think we're watching a build-up to a big relief.
It definitely feels that way, and I have to say that a lot of my very own friends that I talked about it say, you know, Marie, I feel like I'm being prepared for something, and I feel it too. I feel a quickening, and I think that's one of the things that really drew me to write this book. I wanted to know, is there more than just this theory of a calendar that was, you know, drawn up 3,000 years ago? And there is an awful lot of other information out there that sounds like it, there could be something to it. But again, if all these theories are true, it's going to be ultimate chaos. You know, which theory is true? Is it a combination of them? Are they all wrong?
Well,
you know,
if there's, you know,
we're
if
not going to know till that day.
If there's too much chaos, nobody will notice it.
It'll be like business as usual.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm quite serious about that. If there's way too much chaos, it'll be overload. And
information overload.
Yeah. But I really don't expect that we're going to see, you know, on that day, some big cataclysmic something. I really don't. I think it's going to be the day when we are finally, we know we made it.
Right.
I think we're going to see a lot of cataclysm between now and then. I mean, we had 1,000 fires in California.
Oh, absolutely. There, yeah, 1,400 a couple of days ago. And my poor nephew had to come down here from Santa Cruz. UC Santa Cruz was evacuated. I mean, we're going to see those cataclysms. We may see a supervolcano next year. We may see an earthquake here in Southern California that goes over 9 on the Richter scale. We're going to see more flooding and tsunamis in Indonesia. We're going to see all kinds of goodies. But, you know, is it just natural stuff that happens naturally, or is it planned out and leading up to the specific apocalyptic, like the end of the fireworks, you know, the big final explosion?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much planned. I don't think it's so much planned out. Here's what I think. I think that As we move through this part of, you know, we're moving up towards the galactic medium, and we will move through it and above it. And we'll spend a long time up above it. And then we'll begin to move back down through it again, long into the future. Well, you know, we get told, and I believe it's true, that there's a great deal of our actual history that we do not know, and that most of the history that we do know, most of the ancient history we know, is fiction. We've been sold a bill of goods. So now here you have the Mayans, and they're talking about the things that are going to happen. I think that's based on actual observations of ancient people who were around when it happened before.
Right.
And I think, you know, as we move up through it, there are stresses and forces in play that cause these things, these cataclysms. And it's not that it's planned out. It's just that that's the way it works. It's like iron filings and a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not planning for iron filings to take on any particular pattern, but they will when I put a magnet there, because there's a
right.
force in play.
Right.
And so I think there are forces in play that have been observed before, and that's what they wrote about.
Absolutely, and I think that they were also mirroring the rise and fall of other great civilizations. And, you know, we are certainly at a point where technology is about to overtake our humanity, and this could be the very shift that they were sensing and predicting. But whether or not technology does take over our humanity, that's up to us.
I think it will make an attempt. There are people who are going to make an attempt for technology to take over.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a short-lived attempt, because humanity will rebel is innate in us, and our humanity will rebel against being made something other than, and as we perceive, less than human.
Right. Oh, I truly believe that, too.
Yeah.
And that could be what this is all about. 2012 is sort of a showdown of sorts. Will we make a choice? You know, do we make a stand for our humanity, or do we just sort of roll over and let other forces do what they will with us?
Yeah, I think it may be that. But I think the showdown is between now and then. I think it's over in 2012. I think the showdown's over.
It's definitely happening now, yeah. There is such a feeling in the air that there's just something going on underneath, you know, what we perceive as reality, and everybody can feel it, and everybody knows it, that it's there, but we can't quite put our fingers on it.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, I see people talking, I hear people talking about it, I see people reacting to what they perceive as something's up. And what's up right now for us is this break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll continue talking with my guest, Marie Jones. 2013, is it the end of days or the beginning of something really exciting?
All right, we are back, and I want to remind you, if you have not yet gone over to my website to subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do that, all right? KevinSmithShow.com. Be sure you subscribe. It's free. There's no reason for you not to. And, you know, you can unsubscribe anytime you decide to, although very few people ever do that. Most people stay with us forever. But if you decide you want to unsubscribe, there is an unsubscribe link in every single edition that comes to you. All right, so go over to KevinSmithShow.com and subscribe.
All right, we're talking with Marie Jones, and what we're talking about is 2013. And I want to read the title of this book again. Listen to this, folks. 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. What's the world going to be like after 2012?
It's going to be a lot like it is now, yet very different. How's that for an answer?
you really should run for political office with an answer like that.
I know, I've been told that. I think we're going to see some incredible changes. Again, they're already happening now. You know, the climate's going to be different. Power is going to be shifted much more in the east than it is in the west. You know, food inflation is going to become more of a factor. We're going to be dealing with antibiotic-resistant diseases that we've never even heard of. Those things are going to, they're happening now, and that's what we're going to be dealing with, that and a whole lot more. But at the same time, we're still going to look human, we're still going to feel human, we're still going to love, we're still going to hate. A lot of things are going to stay the same. And I felt that way, you know, when the year 2000 rolled around. Sure, there were some differences, but there were also a lot of similarities. However, I am not ruling out that I myself will become a transformed and enlightened being at that moment at 11:11, along with millions of others, because honestly, theories, you know, it's like where there's smoke, there tends to be a little bit of fire.
Okay, let's say 11/11 happens on December the 21st, 2012. Mm-hmm. 11/11 comes, and you and a lot of other folks are expecting to become enlightened beings, and you don't. Now what?
But I'm thinking that maybe the very expectation, again, you know, I'm a firm believer in intention. And I think that if in my mind now I have planted the seed that in 4 years I'm going to be a much different person, that's going to happen. Will that be because of 2012? Well, maybe. Maybe that was the motivator to get me to plant that seed in the first place. But I suspect that when you have shifts in mass consciousness come from a very similar attitude. You know, you have enough people who have decided, hey, something is going to happen. They make it happen through their intention. And if you have people that think it's going to be an apocalyptic thing, well, you know, we're going to have to watch out for that sort of fundamentalist mode of thinking. There may be more terrorism. There may be more, you know, racism and sexism and religious tension, because you've got those negatives that are working. But then you've also got a whole lot of people that are thinking, this is going to be a time for me to blossom. This is, you know, this is what the Mayans meant. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to learn how to love. So I think that that's what's exciting. I think 2013 is going to be exactly what we intend it to be.
Well, I think it's going to be absolutely precisely what we make it to be.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not sure that it will be what we intend, and here's why. I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but there's just sort of a side rail comment here. We seldom end up being what we intended in life, but we do end up being precisely what we prepared to be.
Well, again, I think we have to realize, too, that true intention is not what you think, but what you believe. And it could be the exact opposite of what you really want. You know, that's what can get dangerous when you're working with intention. But I do think we have some power here to make the next 4 years go the way we collectively would like them to go. Now, whether we do that or not, hey, that's not up to me entirely. Is humanity going to rise to the challenge or not? We're going to find out that day.
I think Doris Day had it right. Whatever will be. Que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera. There you go.
Yeah, I think, there are a lot of people who intend to save money for their kids' college education, but never
right.
do.
Right.
There are people who intend to build a great retirement fund and never do. There are people who intend everything you can think of and then never do.
Now, see, I have always achieved my intentions. I have a hard time with people that set intentions and don't reach them. So I think I'm really blessed in a sense that I've always had a strong sense of what I wanted, and I set my intention, and I get it. But I do think we have the capability of great, achieving great things if, like you said, if we really make that our will, if that's what we want to make ourselves out to be. It's always about choice.
Well, there's a song that I play here on the show sometimes, and it's the title of the song and the hook line in the song is "Life is what you make it."
It absolutely.
And so, what I worry about, Marie, honest to God, one of the things that I worry about doing this in doing this show. And hearing the things that I hear, and I'm not condemning anybody, but I really worry about folks for whom there is no plan beyond 2012.
No.
In their mind, it has all come to an end right there at 2012, and they have no real plan for what to do after that. And I've even talked to some people who say, well, it doesn't matter, it's all coming to an end in 2012.
Right.
And their whole attitude is, they don't have to think about the consequences of what they're doing today because it's all going to be over in 2012. Well, you do have to worry.
Well,
I don't know worry, but you do have to consider that your actions are going to have consequences far into the future. And the consequences of our actions today will go beyond 2012. We'll be here.
They sure will. I absolutely agree with that.
Look, why don't you tell folks how they can get your book?
The book is everywhere. It's in brick-and-mortar bookstores. It's online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all the usual places that you buy books. And they can go to my website, mariedjones.com, and email me there. I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can answer them.
All right. And do you have a website?
Yeah, mariedjones.com.
Marie
Very
D.
easy
Jones.
To remember. Just mm-hmm. my name.
All right. Well, folks, I recommend that you get this book. It's going to give you a balanced view of what's coming in 2012 and what's beyond 2012. And when I say balanced, I mean that there are people who see it one way and other people who see it another way and everything in between. And this will give you a balanced view of what people think will be the case out there beyond 2012. Marie, I want to thank you for being with me this evening. It's been fascinating.
Oh, it has. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's my pleasure.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on. If you will, stay on the line with me for a moment. And let me shamelessly put in a plug for me. If you ever have another opportunity for me to write and participate in one of your books, I want to do it. All right, folks, that's it for this evening. And you need to plan to go to Thailand with me this year, not just in 2012, all right? Let me hear from you on that. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.